Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Happy Inauguration Day, everybody. Oh my God. This is going to, you know, people will be listening to this a few days from now, maybe years from now. But today is, we're taping this on Inauguration Day at the UCB Theater before Comedy Death Ray, as we always do. And it was a good inauguration, right? It's probably the first one any of us has ever actually watched. Didn't care when it happened 4 years ago. Or wait, do they, when you're already president, do they do an inauguration when you have a second term? They did? The whole deal? Wow. I slept in that day. I missed that. I saw Defiance the other day, and basically it's Ewoks fighting bad guys while living in the forest. I mean Jews. I'm sorry. I meant Jews. All right, let's bring the guests out. I got a brand new version of the Leonard Maltin game that we're going to play. Not brand new, but I tweaked the rules a little bit on the Leonard Maltin game, so I'm excited about getting to that. And as always, we're going to run a tight ship here. It's going to be a half hour so we can get Comedy Death Ray started on it in its proper time. So these two guys I'm going to bring out here are very funny gentlemen. The first one plays a giant gay on TV. You know him from the Sarah Silverman program. Please welcome Steve Agee, everybody. Steve Agee is here. Might as well take that one since
they all thought you were going to say Brian Posehn.
Well, whenever
I hear the excitement, and then
whenever I have Sarah Silverman on this show or any other show that I do, the Benson Interruption, I always say, you know this next person from the Sarah Silverman program? Sarah Silverman, because that's a retarded way to... It sounds like you're going to bring out anybody but her when you say it that way. But I hope no one's thought this was going to be Brian Posehn. I should have said the gayer guy.
Hey.
Of the two, right? You're a little bit
the
more...
The happier guy.
The happier one, yes.
That's me.
And also, if you listen to the Adam Carolla radio show, which I do whenever I'm driving around in Los Angeles or lots of other cities on this side of the country, you know this guy does an awesome Huell Hauser impression on there. Dana Gould is here, everybody. Give it up for Dana Gould.
Is that your water?
What?
Is that your water?
That's mine.
Yeah, have a seat right there.
And you can take the mic out of the thing if it's easier to talk into that way. Yeah. There's my... this is how I keep... What?
I always feel like if you're
testifying before Congress, you just lean into the mic.
Yes.
yes, sir.
Yeah, if at any point you want to have one of your answers whispered into the other guy's ear and then lean in and say into the microphone, you can do that.
It's technically she male.
So
why were you going to Glorious Granny's? That's my question.
Because that's how I set up the joke by saying that I'm planning to go to that place and then I end up at that other one.
Keep the magic in the hat,
Doug. I don't know what I was doing in the first place. You know what they say, if 100 monkeys type 100 URLs, eventually you'll end up at Shakespeare.com. Bam!
Wow. That was beautiful.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I was glad I was here for that.
I'm proud of myself. You set it up, Dana. You deserve 80% of the credit.
I set a nice table.
Mm-hmm. So, anything you guys want to say about Inauguration Day? Inauguration Gay for Steve, of course.
Nice.
Like
it was fabulous.
Have you ever gone on any kind of talk show or radio show or anything where they like... make something about the whole gay thing and then you get defensive?
Yeah, for this last season I had to do a whole, like, you know, you do the radio tour, like up at like 6 in the morning and then they patch you through to like 20 stations and everyone had a gay joke. Like, I don't remember any. But
yeah, and you were always
just
like...
Because I was asleep.
Because they're all so
really
gay.
Yeah.
did you get mad? They're like, I'm not really gay. Because then that really sounds like you're gay if you get overly defensive.
Oh, I know. So I don't
it.
Do that. I don't get defensive.
Yeah, that's called the Hal Sparks. I don't know another word to say after those first two words. The Hal Sparks syndrome. That's what I meant to say.
Right.
Where, like, when he was on Queer as Folk, he'd go on talk shows and get mad at the host for asking questions about playing a gay guy.
I was like, I'm sorry. The only time I see you is when you're naked in bed kissing a dude.
Yeah.
Why did I draw that conclusion?
How dare you?
Yeah.
So I have
an observation about the inauguration.
Awesome.
I like that when during the campaign they were always like, "Don't say Hussein, just Barack," you know, and they would always crap on people that were going, like, "Barack Hussein Obama."
Yeah.
We're going to find out the truth about Barack Hussein Obama. And now he's like, he just says it. Barack. I think he should hit it even harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. He should change his name to Hussein O Baby Raper, and just. I want him to do well, but I also want to be able to have jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the thing they were saying in the media, is that Chris Rock has announced that Barack Obama isn't a funny topic. And then to support his point...
Oh, is he the mayor of comedy? I didn't get the memo.
Yes.
Yeah, he said... Well, I think he's just trying to cop out on for himself. Like, you know, I'm not going to be making jokes about that. That's not funny.
But you can make jokes about Barack Obama and still be a supporter of him.
Exactly.
I'll do one now.
Exactly. You got one?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
I want him to do well, but I hope as a comedian that I there's something for me to get some feed off of. Like, you know, maybe he could develop a harmless tick. Like, you know, when things go good, he falls into the habit of saying, ooby dooby. Just something for me, you know, something for me to... I would do that to his face.
Ooby dooby.
Yeah, you know.
And you'd say that about any of the previous presidents.
It doesn't matter that he's black. I wrote that joke hoping John Anderson would win in 1980.
Didn't he run on the Ooby Dooby ticket? Wasn't that his campaign platform? Other political words.
Oobas doobas dominoobas. You know, something.
See, I was asking today.
Or he's always walking around eating a wedge of pie with no fork or knife or plate. Just some. And then we, what's with the pie? Yeah, have you seen Barack Obama in a pie? You know, people make fun of it harmlessly.
I was wondering if it's still cool for me to say, as I always do around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's time for my niggity nap. Is that? That's not.
You can't do that.
I can
anymore.
Still say that. I can't still say that.
You can't do that anymore.
But it's.
It means something totally different.
You know,
though.
I'm actually. I think to play it safe, niggardly should no longer mean cheap. It should just be cheap. Just say cheap.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's
who's
a word
going out of their way to say niggardly.
Yeah, yeah. But it is in the dictionary.
N-I-G-G-A-R-D-L-Y, right? Niggard.
N-wordly.
Yeah, right.
That's where we should go with it.
That's right.
Let's do the whole show without talking about movies.
Yeah. I'm just That's Hussein really in the membrane today. So
N-wordly.
They called him Barack H in one of the moments today when they were introducing him or something.
Did you see the concert Sunday?
No.
Did anybody hear?
No. We saw the pictures of it on your phone backstage.
I was there.
Yeah. And Dana had a great seat, you guys. I was in Lincoln's lap.
Pretty much.
I was up on the stage. Bruce Springsteen walked right past me. And
didn't stop and say the comedic voice of our generation, Dana Gould?
No.
What the fuck?
No, but to his credit, John Cafferty of John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band says that all the time. His head, Bruce Springsteen's head is so big, he looks like his own Mardi Gras float. He looks like it should be paper mache.
He's weird. He has a weird little body, and he's also really buff. He really works out. So it's
weird
like
little
weird
body,
little
super buff, massive head,
giant head doll. Yeah.
As John Stewart once said about Ted Kennedy, his head looks like a container for a head.
Ted Kennedy is okay, you guys. By the way,
yeah, it's okay.
He's doing all right, and he's penciling in another seizure for a few weeks from now. Perhaps at the correspondence dinner. Yeah.
I said, seize the day.
No, seize today.
That seizure the seizure day. Today. You know that common expression.
Do you guys have any favorite political movies? As long as it's a political day and a political.
All the President's Men is a fantastic movie.
That's a good one.
Days in May. One of my favorite movies.
Did you see The Frost Nixon?
I did see The Frost Nixon.
What did you think of that?
I'm not one to say, because I'm not going
to drag my own opinion into this.
No, I'm a Nixon freak, so that movie was like made for me.
Oh, I'm so you loved it. With,
yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
But even
I went to New York to see the play.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to see the play.
That's what I would have liked to have seen.
I didn't know any of that stuff before I saw the movie.
Really? Yeah. But it's not a big story. Interview.
Yeah. I know,
and,
right.
and the whole crux of the
I remember
movie
that
is
part of it.
Will we finish this interview?
Yeah,
yeah.
Remember
is
the movie?
Kevin Bacon going to interfere more?
Right,
while we try to do this interview.
Remember the movie Basketball?
Yeah,
sure
the,
do.
The big plot contrivance of Basketball was they're going to change the rules of basketball.
Yeah,
you know, I have to do the. You know, yeah. I can't sell that in a meeting. Thrown out on my ass.
Basketball
but it was interesting.
Was fine the way it was.
Yeah, you don't need to change
it. Yeah. It was fine. It was fine as a thing. Nobody knew what it was at all. Mm-hmm. And they ruined it by making a movie about it.
But
remember when black people couldn't even play basketball?
Remember that there was the Negro leagues. the Negro basketball leagues.
And their
pay was quite N-wordly.
Nice bring it back.
Thank you.
Yes, it's Steve's joke from earlier. Come in. It's like somebody eat Steve's joke from earlier.
No, thanks. I just had to move the car.
Oh, this goddamn neighborhood with the parking zones.
I got a nice spot out front down by the Vista Theater.
Oh, that's a good spot. I just park in the Cafe 101 lot.
Shh. No, really? You don't.
Like, that's a long
don't tell
walk.
Anyone. It's not that far.
Have you ever seen 7 Days in May?
7 Days in May is the... what's it about?
John Frankenheimer directed it. No, it's Rod Serling wrote it. John Frankenheimer directed it. And it's about... It was a book about a military coup.
It sounds like a documentary.
Military coup of the government of the United States made during the Kennedy administration because they actually thought that might happen because he was so at odds with the military. And Burt Lancaster is in it. And Burt Lancaster, as ever, out of his... Can you swear on a podcast?
Yes, you can.
Out of his fucking gourd. He's just crazy.
Oh, you can't say gourd, though.
Oh, sure.
I'll give you the whole list of rules if you come back.
If you
rebook this, you'll get a list of
that's a big if
words
now.
To avoid.
Burt Lancaster, in his life, was crazy. I know a guy that had to drive him from a movie set to L.A. Like, they were in Albuquerque, and he was doing that his last movie, Old Gringo, I think. No, that was Gregory Peck. One of his last movies. And my friend had to drive him.
there was a storm. They couldn't fly. He had to get back. All right, it's like 12 hours or something. You're going to drive. And he's going to sleep in the back seat. And he gets in the car, and Burt Lancaster starts the car, and Burt Lancaster just goes, "For me, it all started in music hall." And just like told him his story all over. I can't believe I'm in a car with Burt Lancaster, and I hate him.
Wow.
When I was in my late teens, early 20s, I used to sneak into the Oscars, you know, because back in the day, there wasn't security
really?
Wasn't as tight. If you wore a tuxedo, people thought
oh my God.
You belong there. And so well, me and my
you were there for Best
tuxedos.
Supporting Little Boy in a Tuxedo.
we would put all the tuxedos and show up down there and sneak in. And,
That's not true.
It's absolutely true. One time I rode in the elevator from the stage to the press level with William Hurt holding his Oscar, Marlee Matlin, who was his girlfriend but will win the following year, and Sidney Pollack, who had two for Out of Africa. And William
that was
Hurt,
1985.
Yeah, William Hurt said to Sidney Pollack, "Hey, you want me to hang on to one of those for you?" And everybody laughed. Even Marlee Matlin, so we know what a phony she is now.
You don't know what he said. Shut up.
Did you know she's the voice of Chewbacca? I just found that out.
Whoa, no
I
way.
I just found out.
And,
she does Chewbacca.
And every tugboat.
Every tugboat.
All those tugboat movies.
She goes in once a year to the sound studio in Burbank where I do some work, and she records all the tugboat hoots.
But for anybody who's following this conversation, the reason I brought up the Oscar thing is because Burt Lancaster was there that year, and I was, you know, walking around near the red carpet, and I think he winked at me. I think he looked right at me and gave me a nice wink.
How are you, son?
Yeah, very old school movie star, but also probably a queen that was out fishing around
yeah.
for some action.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you back to my hotel, Doug.
No thanks, Bert.
And what I'm going to do...
Cookie full of arsenic.
Yeah, that's right. I'd hate to take a bite out of you, but I'm going to.
Oh, shit. So, Steve, do you have any favorite political movies?
I've actually never seen a movie before in my life. Any movies.
You couldn't bring that up when I called you and said you... Oh, wait.
Frost Nixon.
Dana whispered that. That joke really won't play on the podcast.
It was like a sketch.
It's just audio.
I can't think of any presidential movie I've seen other than Frost Nixon.
You've seen Nixon?
Well, then you're in for...
And the sequel to Nixon, Frost Nixon.
Then you're in for a very exciting round of Leonard Maltin.
Oh, yeah.
Because
and next I'll still probably do good at this.
And next should be Frost Predator. You're
space.
In the jungle and you are invisible.
That'd be awesome if David Frost would take on a series of other classic characters.
Classic.
He's still alive, right, David Frost?
He is alive. Yeah, God love him.
God love him indeed.
Frost Predator, that was a funny joke. Somebody get Mad TV on the phone.
Oh,
too late.
Did you hear they got canceled?
I did, actually. I have another great Mad... Do you ever, like, walk around and think, oh, that's only good for a Mad TV sketch? When I was at that stupid concert, I saw the Marine... marching band walks by, and I go, "That's a funny sketch." This is your violin. It may save your life. The Marine marching band drill instructor. That's good for Mad TV.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Why not?
I didn't say
why not
here.
SNL? Why can't you give it to them?
No, I don't.
That
think
wouldn't
it's as good. They're a better show.
So whenever you think of a subpar idea for a sketch, I always think of sketches where, like, what if Al Pacino was fat? Or what if George Bush was fat? Let's get Frank Caliendo and see what happens. Can you know what I mean? Like, remember the old days, Copycats? Remember that show?
I remember the Copycats.
Where, like, the fat guys would do impressions of fat guys,
yeah.
and the thin guys would do the thin guys.
Right.
When Frank Caliendo
Frank
slips
Gorshin,
in, they're
Frank
like,
Travelina.
Everybody's fat when I do them. It's just how it's going to be.
Yeah. I'd even rather see a thin guy.
Tom Hanks at the end of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
By the way, Marley and Me had more death in it than Philadelphia. I don't know if you've seen that movie yet.
Seen it.
Don't take your
Spoiler.
Little girls to see it. I took my daughters to see it thinking, oh, a lovable movie about a dog with a Christmas bow. And then after the miscarriage, the dog started to die.
Oh, Jesus.
It was awesome.
Wait, you're talking about...
Miscarriage.
Are you sure you didn't see Revolutionary Road?
No. My 4-year-old loved Revolutionary Road. Their wives were empty. Their wives were empty before they were married, Dad. I know, sweetie. I know. I get what it is. It's an existential crisis. I know.
So, Dana,
yep.
The Leonard Maltin game was invented by me and Brian Posehn and some of our other friends. And essentially what we do is we read the cast list from a movie from the most obscure actor up to the most known actor or the lead. And the idea is, in my new twist, is we're going to play it Name That Tune style, where I will tell you the year the movie was released, the genre, and a clue. And then you guys go back and forth. We'll start with Steve on this first one. You guys go back and forth saying how many names you think you can get the movie in. Considering I'm going to start from the least known person, I'll tell you how many names are listed here in the list.
Yeah, how way down do they go?
They go
Asa
pretty
Maynor.
Far. Like this first one has 13 names are listed
okay.
in the Len Maltin book, and it's from 1993. And all the movies are political in this edition since it's
That helps.
Okay. Since it's inauguration day.
Okay.
And
1993, 13 names.
And the clue is it's supposed to be a comedy.
I can name that movie in 13 names.
I can name that movie in one name.
Oh my.
Whoa, Dana Gould stepping up.
Dana,
name that.
Do you
really need to hear the one name?
No, can I guess based on your description?
Yeah.
Dave.
Dave is correct. Nice work.
You had me with when I heard supposed.
Right? Because that was like a comedy, right?
Okay.
But it's not funny at all. It's engaging, but it's not funny.
And it's also, there was a movie that just came out that's the same movie.
Swing Vote?
It's kind of, no.
Oh, yeah.
Meet the Spartans?
I'll think of it.
Names.
Maybe Benjamin Button is kind of the same movie. No, that's Forrest Gump.
That's Forrest Gump.
You know, there's this guy who came out of the vagina an old man, and he's growing into a baby. Isn't that curious? Like,
yeah.
What a stupid word to use to describe his case. Your case is really curious. No, it's fucking crazy.
The creepy case.
The creepy case of Benji B.
Georgia.
The chilling tale of Benjamin Button.
George Meyer, who's a writer on The Simpsons, had the funniest thing about the movie Minority Report.
Behind the scenes dropper.
Yeah. The funniest thing about Minority Report. What's the movie about? A report. What kind of report? A minority report. Oh, boy!
I'm in.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
All right. Next one. Dan has 1 point. Steve has zero. We're playing to two.
And then let's discuss Leonard Maltin's hair.
There might not be time for
which
that.
Which looks like drawing of hair.
It looks like his hair was drawn?
It looks like my kid's drawn his hair off.
He's super into animation, and Mickey. He wrote a whole book about Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, I saw that's doing.
Yeah, it's great. It was great. He told the story of how Mickey lost two of his fingers.
You walk into a bar with a wealth of Mickey Mouse information, your night will be an avalanche of pussy.
He got into some trouble with. He had some money problems. That's why Mickey's missing a couple fingers. Okay, this is from 2000, and for some reason it was a German and United States co-production. That's an extra clue. That's a horrible clue. Political again, and this one was written and directed by the same person. It was a writer-director auteur situation, and it was from 2000. And there's nine names. Dana, you go first. How many can you do it in?
Five.
Dana says five names.
I can name that in 10 names. One of those being the name of the movie.
You have to say
the movie
name that
six
movie.
Get egg rolls.
But Dana, name that.
You should try to underbid him a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, I can name that in four names.
Wow, you went way too far for someone with no confidence. Suddenly you're going balls out.
Well, he said five,
you're
right?
You're really forcing him. Oh, yeah, he did
2000.
Say five.
Right.
I was thinking he said nine. I was like, Steve.
Good for you. So it's year 2000, and Steve says he can do it in four.
Yeah, I go.
Name that movie.
Let's see, 2000, I was agoraphobic and didn't leave my house for 6 months.
Really?
Yeah.
I've done that before.
There's no way you're going to get
that. That was
this.
In 91.
And these are four strong names, too.
Uh-oh. beefy names.
I can picture them all in my head.
They're not famous names, but they're strong names.
It's
Chris Granitz.
It's German and American.
Sturm Feldspar.
That's a terrible clue. Don't list that clue.
Steel Rockman.
How does this clue fit you? Len Walton says it's timely and engrossing.
That could be anything. Babe, Big in the City. Timely and engrossing.
Today's episode of I Love Movies is brought to you by Mango. Mango? Fuck, I wish there was editing on this show. Today's episode is brought to you by God, I can't even fucking say it. Magno Sponge.
Ooh.
Magno Sponge, that's it.
I thought they stopped making those.
Magno Sponge. The combination sponge and... can't say anything right. The combination sponge and magnet that Roger Ebert calls compelling and absorbing. Okay. It's a long way to go.
Yeah.
Totally not worth it.
Compelling and necessary. That's the other one. Timely and necessary.
Mariel Hemingway. Philip Baker Hall. Saul Rubinick. And William Peterson. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mariel Hemingway.
Five names remaining.
It's
Philip Baker Hall?
Now, Dana's thinking about this like he's going to help. But you win if he doesn't get this, Steve.
Well, I'm not going to get it. Is it...
It's 127 minutes long.
What's the difference between Philip Baker Hall and Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Who's Philip Baker Hall? One of them Caliendo does a great impression of. Can you see it? It doesn't matter if you see it. But.
I didn't even read it. I don't have my glasses. I don't have my cheaters.
Is it?
Do you really have a guess? We gotta go.
The Maltese Falcon.
I have no idea.
Dana, yell it out as soon as you know it. I'm just gonna read the rest of the names, and you lose, Steve.
Well, name one more and see if he gets it.
Yeah,
Sam Elliott.
Oh, it's he shaved his mustache in that movie, right? I bet he did.
Oh, shit.
And it's political.
He was in a helicopter a lot with a guy.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Christian Slater. Some guy in the audience.
Pump up the volume to Operation Christmas.
Gary Oldman.
Air Force?
No.
What?
No.
No.
It's a one-word title, right?
Jeff Bridges. Two words if you count the...
Oh, and I know the other name. I know the woman.
It's a woman. Top build.
Blonde. It's Glenn Close, right?
Glenn Close.
No,
it's the other
one. Meryl Streep.
It's another one that's like Glenn Close.
Yeah, it's another
Meryl Streep.
Shrill harpy.
That's another one that every interview, there's just no good roles
for. It's the woman,
older.
If she looks like... she talks like this. I know the movie. Ah, shit!
She essentially played the same part.
Jeff Bridges basically plays Clinton.
Death Race and The Born, one of those.
She's in The Born, the last Born. Yeah.
Joan Allen.
Joan Allen. The Insider.
No,
that's close.
I know who made it. I know who wrote and directed it.
Yeah, Rod Lurie.
Yeah, that dipshit from NPR.
Oh, my God.
Well, I picked this movie because he's a friend of mine. He listens to every episode
of your podcast.
Because my podcast is so
political.
The
one where they dig up her fucking sexual past.
Yes, and here's the thing about that
movie. But what is she? Does she have a shot? Do you think she's got a chance? Is she a...
Contender.
Contender! That's right! Now we gotta do the tiebreaker. Hurry. We need a tiebreaker.
But the point of that movie, they reveal at the end that she wasn't even the person. And so she made them go... Which proves that she would be a horrible president. Yeah. I almost drove the train off the tracks on principle. Good, you should be in charge of weapons.
Right.
I don't understand any of this.
You slack-jawed.
Let's hear it for my guests, Steve Agee and Dana Gould. Thanks for coming on, guys. And as always, Willem Dafoe is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves...